So with that said, I'm going to tell you, if you turn in the Bible to Numbers chapter 20, a couple things from the book of Numbers this morning. And it's going to sound like it actually is two different messages, but I think the combination will work. In Numbers chapter 20, verse 1 through verse 5, and this is the children of Israel murmuring as they did pretty much throughout the whole book of Numbers. And then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, unto the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there, was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, "Would God that we died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord unto the wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us unto this evil place? It is no place of seed, or of figs, or of vines, or of pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink." So what I want to give you, I want to help you live today. You see, the key to an abundant life here on this earth, because nothing in this life we have here today, satisfies eternally. Nothing. And so when we expect certain things, and these people, they had this great expectation, they were in bondage, and they're going to come out of bondage, and they see all these miracles. But it was a life cycle of the same thing going round and round and round again. Like Brother Philip and I, who ran the City of Refuge, when I cut my teeth preaching 35 years ago, and man said, "Haven't we been here before? Haven't we been here before?" And those of you old enough to remember, in the LP, the records would go round and round and round. We'd always come back to where we started. And that's what happened here. And it's what happens with everything in our life. We get a new car. And then you realize, well, after a few years, it's just like the one we had before. And you get a new house. And you realize, well, now it's just like the one we had before. And you get a new life. Some guys get new wives. Some wives get new husbands. And they get kids. And you get all of these. And you realize, well, wait a minute. You know, and Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. There's not, you see. In the book of James, chapter 4, verse 13 and verse 14, he said, "Go now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then what? It vanisheth away." Now, I'm going to confess to you this morning. I spent half my life seeking the eternal party. I really did. Basically, half my life, once I reached, and you might say, an age of consent, I spent my life looking for the eternal party. And I outlasted them all. I was really good at it. But try as I may, the party always ended. And I couldn't stay high. I just couldn't stay there. And I couldn't stay happy. I just couldn't. Because there's nothing, absolutely nothing, in this mortal life that brings lasting pleasure. It's fleeting. Everything in this life is fleeting. You know, we ridicule these, I many times, these that are murmuring, these murmuring complainers. And yet, in reality, we're all mostly the same. Looking for that which is not attainable in the natural. It simply is not. Vanity, he said. Vanity of vanity, all is vanity. And we all spend most of our lives seeking vanity. And I'll admit that to the world, to the people I work with and to the world. I'm considered what you might call a pessimist. Okay, I don't have, that's another sermon because I don't believe in all that stuff, but they consider me, the world considered me as a pessimist. You see, not only have I lived it, but I've read the book and I know how this thing ends. I know how it turns out, you see. And we read in the book of Jeremiah, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. God said, think about that. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Now I'm going to give you some wisdom. And it's so simple. It's really revolutionary. It's really a revelation. But it's so simple of why these people murmured. You see, as great a man as he was of God, they trusted Moses. Under the guise of trusting God, they trusted Moses. And you know what? We all have a Moses. They trusted in Moses when they should have trusted in the Lord. And a man will always seek another man to trust in. And you know what? He'll always be disappointed. Look how many chose Biden. Well, we don't know, but it was still a lot, even if the vote was fractured. It was still a lot of people. They trusted Joe Biden, of all people. And now, once again, now they're clamoring back for Trump. But they'll always cry. People will always cry, give us Barabbas. They chose Barabbas, a murdering thief, over the Lord himself. Human nature. And we'll always be disappointed. The Apostle Paul, the Bible says he learned to be content. You remember? In whatever state he was in. And that sounds like a real simple thing. It's not a simple thing at all. It's one of the greatest things in the Word of God. That you can receive this side of heaven to be content in whatever state you're in. Wow. And that's where you and I are to be. That's where we're to be. We're to be content in whatever state we're in, whatever comes our way. I guess if the Lord could be content in Calvary, that we can be content in whatever God sends our way. And that's where we should be, you see. And that's where every child of God should be, content. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Romans chapter 8. Who? Shall tribulation? Distress? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Peril? Or even the sword? But it sure seems to, the smallest thing. Plumbing separates me. You see, because we've got our eye on man, on mortal things below. You know, ironically, I thought about this, ironically, God even foils Satan in this matter. Because he tells Satan, the sons of God come before him, and in the book of Job, and he said, Satan was with him, and he goes, hey, Satan, have you considered my servant Job? What a queer statement. Have you considered my servant Job? And you know what? Job let Satan down. Do you ever think? Job let Satan down. Satan said, you turn me loose on that boy. You turn me loose on his flesh and he'll curse you. He'll curse you to your face. But he didn't. Job never cursed God. He let Satan down. Irony of ironies. The serpent placed even his trust in man when he beguiled the woman. But God had a remedy for even that. As the villain used to say, we were watching those shows last week, last Sunday, and the villain would say, Drat, foiled again. I think that was the Mountie show. I forget what it was. Drat foiled in. You see, but Satan, he doesn't give up easily. You remember, he even tempted Christ. He tried to tempt the Lord himself, the man Christ Jesus. And he was tempted in all like manner, just like you and I. So there's nothing new under the sun that's going to come to us that he hadn't already experienced. And Satan went after him all out, but all to no avail. And in the end, he pretty well just told Satan, he said, only in the Lord thy God shall be thy trust. There is no other way. And so anytime we're disappointed, you know what the reason, simple reason is? Because we have put our trust somewhere other than the Lord. And so we're disappointed. We used to say in car business, in God we trust, all others pay cash. That's a great statement. It's true. Because you trust man, you're going to get in trouble, you see. And we sing the song, my hope is built on nothing less. Like Peter, you see, we sink when we take our eyes off the Lord. If David had been off to war, his eyes wouldn't have been on Bathsheba. And you and I, we've a warfare also. And if we'll keep about it, our eyes won't wander. You see, we take our eyes off the Lord. And so we're not content. But our gaze is to be fixed. The Lord told us, he said, man shall not live by bread alone. Boy, we do. Read a story this morning. There's famine coming. Because there's no fertilizer. Simple things that you don't think about. There's no ammonia. We can't get ammonia. China's not going to release the ammonia because they're trying to feed their people. Without ammonia, there's no fertilizer. And without fertilizer today, there's no food. Can't produce enough food to feed the people. So our eyes are on something else. And that's a good reason why Hebrews chapter 10, that we're not to, what we're doing right now, we're not to forsake the assembling. And not only forsake the assembling, but even more so as we see the day approaching, and a blind man can see it's approaching. And you and I, those that are in Christ, we have a door. And we have a shepherd whose voice we're to follow. Now Moses was simply the voice. But it was God who was doing the talking. I'm just a voice. But it's God's word, you see. And there's wisdom there if you can hear it. There's always something missing to those not in Christ. Now, there's a lot, I've met so many of them, and there are many, many religious people that live so-called clean lives. And they do, as it said in Matthew, said, they do many wonderful works and even cast out devils. But they don't know him. You know, some of you have heard, remember the story. My earthly father, my dad, he met the Lord 24 hours almost to the minute. 24 hours before passing into eternity. How many wonderful works did he do? Can't do a lot in 24 hours laying in a hospital bed, barely breathing. But he met the Lord. I saw it. I witnessed it. Just as sure as the miracles in Exodus, I witnessed it, you see. By grace are you saved, not of works. And that's why I'm going to continue read. We're going to go into another, into the providence of God. You see, works will come, but only by the faith of knowing him. Substance and essence of things hoped for and not seen. Remember, it's a hidden wisdom. You remember? We preach it all the time. 1 Corinthians. It's a hidden wisdom. And hope that is seen is what? It's not hope. That's why I tell you folks, you got to read this all the time, over and over and over. And remember, hope that's seen is not hope. Do you get it? And now you consider that in light of our text. They wanted quail. They wanted meat. They wanted water. And they were always wanting. Like kids. We were all kids. What do kids want? Take them to the grocery store. Worse yet, take them. Well, do they still have Toys R Us? But if they had it, or take them in the toy section in Walmart. You'll find out what they want, not what they need. Always wanting. And those outside Christ always will be wanting something. Proverbs 27:20 says, the eyes of man are never satisfied. Well, that pretty sums up the message, pretty well sums up it. Hell and destruction are never full, and the eyes of man are never satisfied. You know, perhaps the greatest tragedy of hell is that those there will never be satisfied. They'll still, did you ever think about it? They'll still be wanting. You think that one drop of water had Father Abraham sent Lazarus to dip his finger in the water and give him one drop of water in that heat? Do you think he'd have been satisfied? No, what would he have wanted? Another drop of water. And then another drop of water. And he said, well, go tell my brother. He said, no, even if one from the dead, wouldn't make any difference. They didn't hear the prophets, they're not going to hear one from the dead. Sadly, the prodigal, now we learn this the hard way, experimentally, you see. And maybe that's the only way. You know, when I think about Paul and Damascus Road experience, and I told the old preacher, he said, you know, I don't know any other way to get saved. And I don't either, because that's the way I got saved. Maybe there's another way. Maybe you got saved another way, but I don't know that way, you see. But I do know that you must be born again. That I do know. And that if you're in Christ Jesus, you're to be content in whatever state that you're in.